It is Wednesday, April 10th, and this is another Sunday Golds. Arya Masudi and Brett Nevitt back here in the middle of rivalry week for Florida State's baseball team, top 10 in the country, and fresh now off a sweep of the Florida Gators. And they defeat UF 19-4 there in Tallahassee yesterday. One of the best atmospheres I've ever personally witnessed at Hauser. I know for Brett, he feels the same way, and the Seminoles get the job done, run ruling the Gators for the second time this season, a contest that, again, didn't even finish a full nine innings because of the mercy rule. So, Brett, before we get into it, we'll go and talk some UF. There is some injury updates that we have to get to. Link Jarrett announcing some big things here this morning. And then we will preview the matchup against the Miami Hurricanes and what is going to be a challenging weekend for Florida State at Hauser, and one that's, I think, going to take even more significant importance now that we know what we know about the pitching staff. So before that, let's start with the good. Let's start with the positive. The vibes are still incredible. What was it like from your vantage point there at Hauser yesterday, seeing the crowd and the way that they impacted the game?
Yeah, I thought it was a one-of-a-kind type of night. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything even close to that, and I don't really know if we'll ever see anything like that again. I mean, you have the Marching Chiefs, which I never really seen that before. And then, I mean, you've got kids jumping over fences and getting arrested because they want to get into the game so badly. You have, like, student sections already closed down 50 minutes before the game. And, like, has that even happened for a game in the last, I don't know, ever since I've been here? I can't remember, like, students being turned away. And there were students turned away in a big way, like a ton, that weren't able to get in because of how big the crowd was. And I mean, you have kids climbing the fence in right field. You have people on the equipment out in center field. I know they got kicked off, I'm sure for liability reasons, and understandably so, but yeah, it was a chaotic night. It was exciting. To combine the performance with that atmosphere and to be able to go out there and control your emotions and play to the best of your ability in that moment, that's impressive to me, and just a overall really, really cool night, and probably something that I don't think I'll forget that night for a long time.
Those of you listening in, appreciate you being fans of the show and being supportive. If you could give us 5 stars on Apple Pods, that would mean the world, and leave us a comment there. It does help, again, with that algorithm, and I feel like, you know, this season for us, even as a podcast, Brett, we've been able to grow some because of the success of the baseball program. Last night, maybe a culmination from a fan support standpoint. They could have probably packed over 8,000 or 9,000 at Hauser if you had the capacity. Like, it was that good. And
there were probably at least 500 students probably turned. Like, there were a ton of students out in left field that I could see.
Yeah, it's the SEC type of field, right? Like, you and I have been to some of these parks just throughout postseason when FSU's visiting, and it has that feel. And that's why, like, you know, I just am so passionate about FSU baseball, right? And I think those of you listening share that. And it was really cool to meet some of you last night, you know, standing up there. I decided to go stand outside. They're above the third baseline, right, above the grandstands, and you can stand up there. I believe that's where they have, like, disability seating and whatnot, and some of the high cameras, and a number of fans came up and introduced themselves and said they were listeners of the podcast and appreciated what we did for FSU baseball, and, you know, they wanted me to thank you as well, and you know, listening in to me and Chris Chavez on the ACC Network calls. Pretty cool, right? And that's just, I think, FSU family coming together. I think people realize, you know, that this baseball program is serious again, and it wants to elevate into the upper echelon of the program. What 11 built, right? And this is what 11 built, was for it to matter every single year. Like, it should upset you when you lose a series, right? Like, it should upset you when you get to a postseason and you're not successful. It should upset you when you don't make the postseason. FSU baseball's back. And you and I have chatted about this, and I think fans share that sentiment. And you guys know, those of you who have followed me for a while on social media or throughout my broadcast career, you know I love FSU basketball. You know I have respect for softball. You know how much I respect the soccer program and whatnot. After FSU football, there is no sport that I think has the status that baseball does when it's this good. And that's just cultural. That's this deep South, right? We are in baseball culture, where we grow up and where we live. with all the youth teams, with the high schools, with the state of Florida being a hotbed for baseball talent. It's cool to see a baseball program like Florida State be able to be in that upper tier again, and you're seeing that support. I just thought last night was, it was kind of like the program getting its roses, and there's a lot of people that have been texting me recently reintegrating back into paying attention to every weekend of FSU baseball, right? They're not checking out. They're listening to Lulu on every baseball, on every radio call. They're tuning into the broadcasts on ACC Network Extra. They're tuning into this podcast. Brett, I'm sure your numbers at Knowles 24/7 are pretty strong right now with the way these guys are playing. So to me, that was a coronation of sorts last night. And like you just said, they delivered. Man, did they deliver on the field.
Yeah, I mean, in the biggest way possible. And we've seen this team, like Link said last night, like we've seen them respond in a lot of different ways, whether that be to agony or travel or schedule changes or, you know, all different things that they've kind of had to deal with so far this year. But the reason they're 27-5 is because they've responded really well. And we got another response really quick in that game after, you know, UF hits back-to-back homers to begin the game. But, you know, John settled it down after that with three straight outs. And Max Williams busted his butt out of the box to you know, beat out an infield single to begin that rally in the first inning. You put up six there. You put up five in the next inning. You put up 19 runs, season-high 19 hits, tie season-high with five home runs. Like, yeah, it was just dominant. It was pretty crazy to watch the bats do what they did. It felt like every single pitch was being hit hard. Up and down the lineup, guys contributed. I mean, all five home runs came from five different guys. It was just a complete beatdown last night. And really, outside of one grand slam that UF got at their place, it was pretty much a beatdown for all three games this year. He scored 45 runs against them in three games, and I think that's the most runs you've scored in a season series when playing them three times or less in program history, I'm pretty sure. So just a really cool night, a historic night, a night that probably will never be recreated, but something that, yeah, it's hard to put into words what it felt like. And I'm sure for some of those guys that have been here for a while, there's not too many of them that have been here for a while, but, you know, like Jaime Ferrer, James Tibbs, Connor Whitaker, Andrew Armstrong, those type of guys who have been through it here, and they've had struggles here, and they've seen it when it's not going well. And, you know, last year it was tough. There were definitely days it was tough to go to the park. It was agonizing at times last year, but, you know, I think last night probably made it feel like it was all worth it. And like that, this is the reason you came here. This is what you wanted it to be when you came here, and you're starting to see the fruits of that. And last night it was just awesome. There was a moment when I think in the fifth, after the fifth or after the fourth, somewhere in there, Tibbs was running out to the outfield and just had a moment with everybody in the right field stands pumping them up. And that entire right field stands was just cheering him on. And I just was thinking about, you know, what he's been through, what him and Jaime, those guys have done so well for themselves for 2 years, but 3 years, but they hadn't got the results on the field with as a team that they wanted to when they committed here, and especially not last year. So for those guys that have been here and stuck through it, last night had to be the best feeling in the world, I think.
Yeah, just talking to Link this morning, went into his office to kind of get ready for the weekend and the broadcast slate. Excited to tell you guys I'm on the call for two of the three games this weekend, so I'm very happy about that. Anytime I see a schedule update and it's got my name next to Florida State Miami, you know, that's going to juice me up, and me and Chris Chavez will be ready to go, and Alex Powers, who joins us on the broadcast this weekend too. So just talking to him this morning and getting ready, he said, you know, he was like, Aria, I've been a part of with Notre Dame, I've been a part of Mississippi State at Duty Noble, right? The new dude, as they call it, that he said had set the records for college baseball attendance in one weekend. He said, I was at Tennessee and those are electric. And he said, they gave me chills to be at Mississippi State and at Tennessee. He said, but for one game, I've never in my life been in anything like what I witnessed against the Florida Gators last night on Tuesday night. And I don't know if you agree with me, but there just felt like blood in the water and sharks swimming around. And it was Florida State's baseball team who I think was ready to step on the necks of the Gators, so to speak. I think the fans felt it. The Chiefs felt it. The students clearly felt it. It was just like everybody knew that this could be a big night. And Link even told us that his team had to respond, though, to that moment, right? Like, they can't see all these people here climbing the walls to try and get in, literally climbing the walls to try and get in, jumping fences, getting arrested. It was the biggest event in town, but they had to respond, right? And Florida State had to deliver, and, oh boy, they delivered. So, like you said, I'm happy for those guys. It just felt like big-time college baseball, man, and it was on ESPN, too, so a national audience had to watch it. Certain website had to watch it. People who have doubted Florida State, I think, watched and said, wow, that offense is the real deal. But I do want to ask you this. What's going through your mind there as Curlin and Caglione go back-to-back to start the game?
I mean, honestly, I was like, well, you're going to have this, whoever wins this game is going to score more than two runs. I was just kind of like, yeah, well, you just got to respond in the bottom half to try to get the crowd as into it as possible, and that's exactly what they did. But, you know, them just putting up two solo shots, it's only two runs. It's not going to hurt you at the end of the day. You're going to score more than two runs against that Florida pitching staff on the midweek. You've already seen it twice this year. You're confident you're confident you're going to put up 10-plus runs against that pitching staff, and did it again, and you did it in the dominant way. I mean, it was – you were up by two touchdowns after four innings. You had 17 runs after four innings. You had 19 runs after five innings. And if you had played a full game, you probably would have, you know, put up the most runs ever against Florida. And it was second most, tied for the second most runs ever scored against them. But, I mean, every single hitter in the lineup had a hit. Cam Smith had three hits. Dingus had three hits, all extra base hits. Cantu, two hits. Fro, three hits. Lodice, three RBI. Tibbs, two RBI. West, four RBI. Like, it's up and down the lineup. Everybody did something. Everybody contributed. I mean, Jaime scored three runs. He had one hit. He was hit by a pitch twice. Like, it was just up and down. It was contagious. It was truly unbelievable to watch. And, you know, sometimes that just, you know, it just happens to be a magical night like that. And everything came together, and they were as locked in at the plate as you can be. And they took advantage of pitches over the plate. And yeah, it was just quality AB after quality AB with loud contact after loud contact. It's just, it won't ever get any better than that night offensively.
Yeah. Man, top to bottom, the depth. You know, we had a pretty good conversation, I thought, on our last pod, right, about this lineup construction and how the Noles were going to be able to try and piece things together in the offense. It's clearly one of the best offenses this – I mean, this is one of the best offenses in program history right now. The way the numbers are, it matches up. However, we talked about depth, right? Righty, lefty, who can lead off? We talked about Fisher and his emergence there in the infield. And then Faro and Lodice have responded themselves. This offense is relentless. It'll come after you. You were someone who said, I think, in preseason, Brett, one of the earliest pods of the year, that this offense would feast on pitching that was struggling, right? Like, guys that come in and they're not going to be able to overwhelm you with stuff or be able to, you know, have that experience to kind of mix and match against this lineup would really pound and find ways because it's just too much talent of guys that can do different things. I think you're seeing that. I think clearly when this team is engaged and locked in and focused and it wasn't 39 degrees in Boston, right, feeding off that crowd, you see what it can be. And that's what I'm hopeful for postseason. If we can get a regional, if we're lucky enough to get by that and be in a position to host a super regional, Hauser plays different. There is a reason why Dick Hauser Stadium is one of the best home field advantages in all of college baseball. You saw it last night. I think the offense fed off of it. James Tibbs is, I mean, he's a professional hitter that could probably be in a major league lineup, at least earning at bats. Like, that's the type of kid that he is. Cam Smith, superstar talent. And then when you have the way Dingus is starting to emerge, dude, Marco Dingus has a shot to be really good as a hitter. Whether that's, you know, at Florida State, if he decides to go pro or, you know, and get developed in the minor leagues, like, that kid's going to play baseball, in my opinion, for a long time because of the bat. It's special. Happy to see Cantu get it going again. I know that was a guy you wanted to see pick it back up. Lodice has come back from, I don't want to say he was benched. I mean, that's what happened, though. Like, let's, if I'm being fair, they gave Lodice a couple days off to kind of reassess some things. He came back with a vengeance, and he's played really well. I was happy for Faro, like you said, to be able to have the day that he had, the night that he had, because he needed it. Diamez Ross, happy for him as well to get the at-bat and get a hit. This offense is going to win you some games, man. And I think it's important for us to kind of talk about the pitching now before we transition to the Miami series. But Brett, yeah, the pitching, you know, we're losing depth here the way things are going. And I'll let you be the one to kind of, if you want to announce or kind of go through that.
Well, yeah, Link, obviously he met with the media today on Wednesday morning for the first time. You know, we talked to him yesterday, but that was just to talk to him about the Florida game, and we didn't want to ask him about the Miami series and get into that stuff because we knew we'd be talking to him today. So we did get to ask him about the weekend rotation and about Cam Leiter for the first time since he didn't start at BC. And FSU will go with a rotation of Jamie Arnold, freshman Brady Lauk, and Carson Dorsey this week. So no Leiter and also no Connor Whitaker. Link actually sounded pretty positive about Cam Leiter. He said that they received good news about him, and you know, I think he said that he had taken some good steps forwards, and that him and Ben Barrett are two guys that are trending in a positive direction, is what it sounded like. And with Whitaker, it sounded like he's pretty early on in the evaluation process, and you know, Link said that he didn't bounce back well from the start at BC last week, and just hasn't felt good since then. He just said, you know, he wished he had an answer, but I hope it's not a long-term thing right now. So, no real answers there, I don't think yet, but you know, it didn't sound too good. And obviously, Witt's consistency has been big for you this year. And just, I think he's given you 5+ innings in every single start so far this year. But, yeah, it's just tough news to get the day after. You know, you want to have those good vibes moving on for a while, but yeah, not having Witt in there and who's team captain and someone that's been here and done that for 3 years and that you trust a whole lot. Yeah, you just got to hope we're not going to speculate on injury and what it is, but you know, it didn't sound too good today, but we're still early on in that process, but he will not go this weekend and neither will Cam Leiter. So it's just kind of a wait and see thing now. But it did sound positive with Cam and, early stages with Whitaker.
Yeah, it's time to step up, right, for somebody. I thought Dorsey did last weekend in Boston, and it's time for Lauk, who I actually feel pretty strong about right now. Like, I think he's trending the right way. Mike Opposey was telling me today that, you know, pitching coach, that it's time to take the training wheels off of Lauk and really see what he can do. He's looked really good his last couple of opportunities. And, you know, him and Dorsey going this weekend, you're going to need both of them to step up, like I just said. And Arnold, game one, got to take it, right? Like, to me, to win the series, you need Arnold to win game one so that your next two starts, you have some grace, so to speak. Offense is going to continue to need to hit. It's a big weekend, right? You thought Florida was a big crowd. I mean, Miami's going to have some really good ones too, and Saturday could be right back up there, the Saturday game. With what it was Tuesday night against Florida crowd-wise. So I'm excited. This is one of my favorite rivalries in college baseball. I think it's one of the best. It gets heated. You guys know the memories of all the different Florida State-Miami matchups. They swept Florida State last year. I think that should, you know, hopefully be remembered by this team, a number of those guys. And there's some payback, and really in your season as well, you're going to need this series to continue on your upward trajectory of trying to host a regional and stay in the super regional national seed hosting hunt too. So, yeah, I'm excited. Game one will be little Jamie Arnold, and I imagine it'll be Gage Zeal. Have they announced their three yet?
I don't think so, no. Okay. I don't think so.
From what we understand, unless they change some things up, they'll just move everybody up a day. And it has been Gage Zeal first. Rafe, is it Schlesinger?
I think so.
I'm going to have to say that a ton.
Schlesinger? Schlesinger.
Okay, I'm gonna figure that out. Yeah, by
it's Rafe.
By Rafe. Low slot lefty, similar to Jamie Arnold in some ways, with the deception. But and then they have Eric there on game threes. What's his last name?
Hernandez.
Yeah, JUCO kid, right, from Miami-Dade, an All American at the junior college level and pretty good player. So those three matchups, I think it'll be interesting. Zeal has had a ton of success against Florida State so far over the last two seasons that he's pitched. Mid-90s fastball. We know he's a bullpen guy first, transitioned into the starter role. last season, and decent slider, decent changeup. He's been pretty good for them at times this year, right? And it's stuff. It's good stuff. It's a Friday night type of arm, and you know, obviously we're playing Thursday due to the TV schedule and networks. But I'm really looking forward to Arnold against Zeal.
Yeah, it should be a good one, and you're gonna need, you know, innings from all your starters this weekend, like you said. Like, you need those guys to go deep. You're really, really thin right now. Like, you just, numbers wise, you're thin. Like, you just are. The bullpen this weekend, I think, will be Joe Charles, no short, Yoel Tejeda, Ryan Dennison, who's only made one appearance this year, Matt Sauser, who we have not seen since Greenville, but is available, and then John Abraham from the right side of the mound. And left-handed wise, Brendan Oxford, Andrew Armstrong, Connor Holtz, David Davila, who's yet to throw this year, but I think is healthy now, and Hudson Rowan. So, yeah, that's only 11 arms in number, and a couple guys that really haven't thrown this year included in that. So, yeah, it's gonna be a grind to get through this weekend. I think, you know, maybe you use Army game one and game three if possible, and not go too deep with him in either game, but try to, you know, hope maybe he can bounce back. But you know what? Actually, I don't even how many he threw 34 pitches on Tuesday. So,
best case scenario, maybe, man, is Arnold Thursday going seven innings somehow? Yeah. Right, like efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you have confidence that Jamie's going to give you close to that, or that, or even more. He's been pretty much around 6 to 7 almost every outing, every start so far this year, especially recently. And you know, I think Jamie, especially knowing that, like he's going to pound the strike zone and try to get ahead in counts and get, you know, efficient innings. But Miami's also going to know how thin you are, and they're going to try to work ABs. So it's going to be really important to get ahead in counts and attack hitters and not, you know, try to nibble. And you just got to go at guys and get outs as quick as possible with the state of where you're at right now. With Lauk, you know, he pitched last night and looked pretty good again. He only threw 15 pitches in one inning, 2 strikeouts. The fastball is just really good fastball quality, and he's really starting to dot it up around the zone now. Really good command of it we've seen recently, which is a really good step for him. And the slider continues to come along. So we'll be interested to see what they can get out of him innings-wise. Brady wasn't someone who was extended in the preseason because of coming off of Tommy John. Not extended like 4 innings or like that, but I think he threw 3.2 innings earlier this year, so we'll see if they can get him past that. But at the time, I don't think they wanted to take it too far past that number, but things could change this weekend. Like you said, you know, training wheels could come off here when you need it. And then Dorsey, you just hope that he's efficient like he was last week and give you some of that same command. And, you know, this stuff is going to generate fly balls probably, and then, you know, hopefully he can get, you know, outs early in counts again, just like last week at BC. So Miami, I think, you know, they do have a decent rotation, like you mentioned, and Zeal is someone that's given FSU a lot of trouble in the past. He's got a 4.33 ERA in 54 innings this year, 53 Ks to 14 walks, 2.37 average against. Schlesinger was somebody I saw a ton in the Cape in the summer, and I really, really, really liked him. Like, it's super deceptive. It's good stuff. It's just really hard to hit. Like, the ball is going to be sinking on you down in the zone. I think he's going to run it up there and in the 90s, and it's going to be tough to pick up. And he sweeps the slider off of it, so it's a funky look. It's tough to pick up, and you could really struggle with that if it's in the strike zone consistently. And that's what he's been doing so far this year with 48 strikeouts, 13 walks, but he does have a 309 average against, but he does a really good job of keeping it in the park to limit damage, and that's because he has that sinker. He's only given up 3 home runs this year. And then Herrick Hernandez is a left-hander that's probably going to be, fastball up in the zone with breaking balls off of that. He's got 60 strikeouts this year, the most of anybody on their staff, but he's allowed 7 home runs, which has given him some trouble. 5.44 ERA for Herrick in 8 appearances and 8 starts.
Yeah, I just was looking up how to say Rafe's name while you were doing that. Schlesinger, yeah.
Schlesinger.
Schlesinger.
Got it.
So their phonetics and their guide has Schles and then Inger. Schlesinger. I think I got it. It's a good rotation, in my opinion. I know the numbers don't say that, they're not going to jump off the page at you. I do believe Zeal, though, is a big-time arm. You know, they're number one. I think Schlesinger's, like you said, awkward. He was really good out of the pen for them last year. A kid who could come in and really shut things down from the left-hand side and a matchup arm, and they've given him more of a workload and a role. And then Hernandez, he was incredible against Duke there in game three last weekend. So it's going to be tough. He had 10 Ks, I want to say, against the Blue Devils on the road and only one earned run. And they were ahead big before they blew that game. So, you know, Miami just came off of getting swept at Duke, and all three of those games were by one run. It's a decent Miami team. They've played better at home than they have on the road, right? And I think, you know, some of that, some Mark Light magic, as they call it. And then in the pen, I'm looking at some of the main arms. Nick Robert, 3.7 ERA. Brian Walters, 10 appearances. Chris Cinta, 15 appearances. Oliveira and Caba, 14 appearances. So these are the guys that they've kind of run out there. At times, 970 fielding percentage. Defensively, not great, but not completely trash. They're 16-16 right now. That's a bit of a surprise. You know, and 6-9 in the ACC, but Brett, they hit, man. Jason Torres, Daniel Cuvé, two of the better young talents in the ACC. Torres is 389 with 8 homers, 32 RBIs, and Cuvé is 372, 10 homers, 36 RBIs. So those are kids that can hurt you. I think Dorian Gonzalez has been there a little bit, and Edgardo Villegas is a familiar name. Blake Sear, not sure what his status will be this weekend for Miami, but he was one of the most talented freshmen in the country last year, 284 with 7 home runs this season. So they've got a pretty deep lineup, too. I like the Jacoby Long kid, and I like Lorenzo Carrier's power as well. It's a decent lineup, right? Like, they're hitting 296 as a team. They can beat you. And what you just said about the depth of the pitching staff, it's a bit of a concern for me going into the weekend. Hopefully you play good defense like you have at home for most of the year. You're able to hit some home runs. Let that atmosphere get behind you. I think 2 out of 3 would be a real win for Florida State here this weekend.
Yeah, for sure, especially with what you have on the pitching staff availability-wise right now. But, yeah, Torres and Cuvé really carry their offense for the most part. They both have OPS over 1,000. Cuvé has a team-high 11-10 OPS, and Torres leads the team with 402 average and 8 and 9 home runs for them respectively, driven in 33 and 31 runs. So they do a lot of the damage for that team. And like you said, Dorian's been there for a while. Sear is someone that's pretty electric when he's playing, but did not play those games like you mentioned. And Carrier can leave the yard at any time, but he's been kind of limited this year as well with only 58 ABs. They don't draw very many walks outside of Villegas, who has 26, but outside of that, they just don't walk very much, but they also don't strike out too much. So, yeah, this is a team that is beatable for sure, but with the state of your pitching staff, like, you're going to have to hit, I think, and you're going to have to play good defense, and you're going to have to try to get innings from your starters behind Jamie. I think you have confidence in what Jamie's going to give you. And then after that, you're trying to see what Lau could potentially give you, and then hoping for Dorsey to do something similar as he did last week.
Yeah, completely agree with you, man.
Like we said at the beginning of this week, like, Miami's going to be desperate. They
got to get two for their season.
They have to have it. Like, yeah. They have to have it for them. And they're going to do anything they can too. And they know that you're going to be a little limited. So they're going to try to build those pitch counts up and get into your depth and try to score runs on you. And we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, going to be a lot of guys you're leaning on that maybe haven't gotten the workload. You know, Joe Charles is going to have to come back and be strong the way he has been. I think you need Oxford to lead there in the pen over the weekend. Would be nice to see Dorsey give you 6 innings if he can. And he just looked more comfortable, I thought, as a starter. So you're hoping for a repeat there. That they really like what they have with him. I think he's going to be in the rotation long term, especially if, you know, once they get a diagnosis or they really know what's going on with Connor Whitaker. Yeah, it's a Miami program that's weird, Brett. I mean, it's last year they're a regional host with Gino DeMare, and he's a longtime assistant of Jim Morris alongside J.D. Arteaga, who was their pitching coach, right, for Morris. And Demare, they lose in a regional, and Demare is basically fired. You know, he resigned, but it was forced. And I think they did a whole national search to try and get a coach down there. You know, they what's the right way? They spread their web pretty far out. They cast a net. They didn't really get people to bite. And so, you know, they gave J.D. Arteaga, the pitching coach, an opportunity, and he did enough there. I think there was some pressure down there too in South Florida from what I've asked around to try and stay within the program. And a lot of boosters who are, you know, it's a family feel down there in Miami too, much in the same way that up here it was in Tallahassee for a long time with the Martins. So they landed on J.D. Arteaga, and yeah, I know there's a lot of frustration in Miami's fan base with the way things have gone. Not just with this season, but the decisions, you know, the program, the direction of their program. So that's a very proud program, right? Like, they have four national titles. It's, they care down there about the sport, and they care about this series. So, like you said, they'll be desperate. I know JD will want to start off his tenure with a series win over Florida State if they can get it, especially on the road. And we've seen in years past, like, being the home team doesn't always matter. It mattered last year, but doesn't always. And sometimes, you know, the away team ends up finding ways to come in and get a series. So I'm looking forward to it. Brett, I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun. It's a special rivalry. And I think both teams will be getting after it here this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure things will just carry on from that Florida game with the environment. Like I said, we won't have the Chiefs in there again. I don't think it will be quite the same. But, you know, it's going to be packed again and all weekend. And Thursday through Saturday makes it a little weird, but you do get two night games, so and a primetime Thursday game. So we'll see how they handle those moments and how they handle kind of the tension of the rivalry, and we'll see if it gets chippy and stuff like that. But it definitely should be another really fun weekend at Hauser with a big environment. And, you know, there's not too many weekends left at Hauser. What are there, two after this, I think?
I think
NC State and Georgia Tech. Yeah, so. Georgia Tech.
Couple of midweeks, maybe.
Not too many
in.
More. Yeah, Mercer's next midweek after this. But
can we cross our fingers for regionals?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Knock on
hopefully
some wood, some more. And maybe there's some postseason at Hauser.
Yeah, shoot, I forgot that was an option to get more home games added on.
Just trying to make your day here, bud.
It's nice.
It is nice. It's different.
It's a nice possibility.
7 o'clock Thursday, 6 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock Saturday. Thursday night national on ACC Network, and then Friday, Saturday, 6 o'clock and 2 o'clock on the ESPN app for Florida State and Miami. Anything else you want to touch on or add before we get set for the Noles and the Canes?
I'm good. All I'll say is 45-15 in three games.
Delicious,
hate,
isn't
hate
it?
I hate to see that. Mm.
Good stuff.
19 runs.
Nothing brings a Florida State fan base together.
19 runs.
I'm telling you, nothing brings the Noles fan base together like beating the Gators. Yeah. And then, man, it'll be cool if they beat Miami twice this weekend and tuck that away too.
Maybe if Florida throws another 20 pitchers, they'll be able to figure out how to get some outs against FSU. Sorry, I'm done.
All right.
We're on to Miami.
On to Miami. Good stuff, man. Good pod here today. Again, thanks for listening, guys. We're on Apple, on Spotify, Google Pods, everywhere else, and continue to please support us, and we've really appreciated it over the years, and especially this year. This is the most fun we've had to do this podcast, and I know on behalf of Brett, we're very thankful for the ride so far. So till we talk to you again, we will reconvene early next week and hopefully talk about a big series win over the Miami Hurricanes. Brett Nevitt, Arya Masoudi, and this has been Sunday Golds.